Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Robert L. Dillon-Schneider was the founder of the Dillon-Schneider Group, a strategic communications firm widely recognized as a leading communications professional. He's authored numerous books, including The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence, Character, Life Lessons in Courage, Integrity, and Leadership, and his newest, Respect, How to Change the World One Interaction at a Time. Respect offers a clear call that each of us has the power and the obligation to help restore civility in our daily lives. Drawing on decades of leadership experience and insight from voices across various fields, he demonstrates that respect is not just an abstract virtue, but a transformative daily practice that can reshape the world. And the author of Respect, How to Change the World One Interaction at a Time, called the Dean of American Public Relations Executives, Robert Dillon-Schneider, our guest on This Week in America. Robert, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us
today.
To have you.
It's great to be on this program. This program is recognized across the United States, if not around the world, one of the most really important news gathering places in the world.
Well, that's nice of you to say. I appreciate that. And with guests like you, it makes the program. And this book, Respect, is doing so well. And let's go back to the motivation. You've done a number of books talking about human nature. You focus respect on this one. What was it that prompted you to write this book, Respect?
Well, I've thought a lot about what's going on in the country.
Yes.
And what's taking place. And it seems to me we need a better situation out there. And I think we can do it. We are the American people. We can do this one step at a time. And so I've written this book. I'm working on another one now called Working. And in that book, I'm going to talk about the various principles that apply to working. I wrote a book about a year ago, and it was aimed at profiling people who really did tremendous work in their lives. So this book is kind of sandwiched in between, and I'm excited by it. A lot of people seem to like it.
There are so many great principles that you talk about in the book, and we'll touch on them. And the book's available wherever books are sold. And we'll give you Robert's website as we go through the program as well. You point out a lot of oral history has been made by people who used respect as a force for good. Talk a little bit about that aspect, because people may say, I'm one person, what can I do? Well, one person has been able to use respect and really change the course of history in different times, haven't they?
It's one person at a time, and that's what we have to do. I don't care if you're in your church, your social club, you're at work, wherever you happen to be, this is the time to really reflect on the qualities I try to capture in the book.
You know, respect is a word, and you point this out, like love or caring. It bears a positive connotation, but it can mean different things to different people. What exactly is respect? How would you define respect?
Well, I've really done a study, not a scientific study, but I've done a study looking at people throughout the country, virtually every part of the country, from California to Florida, Texas, New York, and it's really the same. People yearn for this quality. They try to emulate this quality. They look down on people that can't do that, and they try their very best to influence people who can do that. So that's what this is all about.
Now, in the book, you tell a story about Larry Doby. He was the second black man to play Major League Baseball, who said, I'm not concerned with your liking or disliking me. All I ask is that you respect me as a human being. Do some people equate liking with respect? They don't respect somebody because they don't like them. Two separate categories, two separate qualities. Is that sometimes confused between liking and respect?
We all want respect.
Yes.
And some of us deserve it. A few of us don't. But some of us deserve respect. And respect for what we do, what we stand for, how we project ourselves, how we handle workers in the workplace, how we talk to people across the way when we're in social situations. We all want respect. Nobody wants to shy away from respect. The issue is really how to drive that concept forward. And in my own situation, whenever I see somebody I ask them what they do. I try to respect what they do. When I ask them what they do, they tell me what it is. I try to respect that. Even between the Democrats and the Republicans, there should be a level of respect and appreciation for what's done. Well, even on the football field, when a school like Notre Dame, which is where I went to school, plays Pitt, which they're playing this weekend, or Stanford in 2 weeks, there should be respect among the players. Are they going to hit each other really hard? Absolutely. But there should be respect for how they play.
Robert Dylan Schneider, our guest on the program. The book is How to Respect, How to Change the World, One Person at a Time. The book is available wherever books are sold. Robert's website is robertldylanschneider.com. A link on our website for that. Let's talk a little bit. Well, in fact, this is interesting. You mentioned you like to talk to people and find out what they do and show them some respect. You had a story in there, July 4th. A friend of yours is at a July 4th celebration, candy store, I believe, and talked to the clerk. This is just one person talking to another person that really made her day. Talk about that, because they don't have to be grand gestures, do they? It's just making contact with everybody we come across in daily lives.
Well, it really varies person by person, but one example is this. I used to live in a part of New York called Tudor City, and Tudor City started on 41st Street, and virtually every day, Colin Powell, Admiral Powell, walked up 41st Street on his way to the UN, where he was ambassador. One day encountered General Powell, and we sat down in the park across from my apartment, and we sat down for 3 hours where he talked about his views toward other people, toward problems in the workplace, and so on and so forth. And it was one of the most fulfilling experiences I've had in my life. I frankly found it fulfilling. I thought about this a lot. I found it fulfilling because I listened. I didn't try to insert myself into Powell's view. Every time I listened, I would occasionally ask a question, and I would find Powell responding to that question. But there are a lot of people like that in life. And, you look for people like that who are going to raise your level of conduct, you raise your level of understanding, raise your level of appreciation, and more. The worst thing somebody can do is say, I don't respect you. I don't understand it. I'm not awake for what you're doing. Let's move to another chapter. No matter how bad off you are, I think there is a way to respect other people.
No, it's interesting. You mentioned listening. You listed top five qualities of respectfulness and respectful behavior that you can develop at work, with your family, personal relationships, civic institutions, basically everyone you come in contact with during the course of your life. Listening to others, that really is important, and you mentioned that. And so often when somebody's talking, somebody else is ready to load their mouth and talk and more concerned about talking. And you learn so much from, obviously, General Powell during that. That's really a key to respecting people, isn't it? Showing them that attention.
I think that as I look at the world, as I look at the country, we're now really at a position where we're kind of on the tip of the iceberg. We have to go one way or the other. I'm very hopeful that we'll go the right way, and we'll learn to appreciate and respect one another, and it'll be a 1 + 1 = 3. The other side of the iceberg is not as attractive, and when that happens, and it does happen, we got to try to recover from it if we possibly can. But understanding somebody else, understanding their point of view, respecting their point of view is extremely important.
One of the qualities as well is practicing compassion, fostering a sense of belonging, and you touched on that. That's so important. And be courteous. Do manners even count for anything anymore?
It's important to... No manners on islands. It's important to belong to things, whether you're constantly there or not, whether it's your social club, whether it's your university or college, whether it's your school, whether it's a group of people at your workplace. It's very important to belong to something and to have respect for those people that are part of what you belong to. How do you do that? Well, you do it by not intruding in things, because nobody really likes that. But you do it by taking a position, a point of view that other people can respect. There's that word again. And finding a way that people will respect it, understand it, and go forward. I know that in the classes I had in college, what really worked was when people respected another's point of view. What didn't work was when a student or even the prof found his way of driving home a point that no one could agree with, and everybody had had second, third, and fourth thoughts about it. So respect, again, is very important, and it is the heart of a group that is out there right now. We've got the Democrats and the Republicans coming together to open up the country again. And by the way, this is going to happen again in January.
Yes.
Let's hope that we don't have a repeat of what's taken place over the last 40 days. But they respect one another at this point. They think one another's position is vital, valuable, worthwhile thinking, and that's worth a lot.
Our guest on the program is Robert Dillenschneider. His book is Respect, How to Change the World One Interaction at a Time. Book available wherever books are sold. Robert's website is his name, robertldillenschneider.com. And we've got a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You say in the book, this really starts with self-respect. That's the key. We all need to find that and then grow from there. Talk about self-respect. How do we gain self-respect? How do we maybe even demand self-respect?
Well, there's a very, very famous writer that's now gone, unfortunately, John Updike, who, writing about the New Yorker, which is where Updike had a lot of his work published, there was a person who edited the New Yorker for two issues. And Updike said that the issues really were something a dog wouldn't like. Now, Updike quickly recovered from that, and he then admitted he made a mistake. He went too far. He said, look, let's deal with this in time. Readers of the New Yorker will react one way or another, and we'll have a better magazine, which is, in effect, is exactly what happened. So
yes,
it's really a matter of finding a situation where you can present something that other people will admire, agree to, support, and add to. If you can do that, then you'll earn respect, and life will be better because of it.
You talk in the book about the long association, the long interest you've had in respect, and you talk about Norman Cousins and how instrumental he was in teaching you about respectfulness. What did you learn from him?
I used to go to lunch with Cousins, who was an absolutely brilliant man.
Oh, yes.
Probably once every 2 or 3 weeks. And he would sit at the lunch, and he wouldn't order for the menu. He would say to the waiter, here's what I'd like. And he did it often enough so the waiter knew who he was and generally had on hand what he liked. But what I learned from Cousins was the ability to listen. He listened to me for a while, but he listened to other people who were coming by. He talked about people he had read or listened to or watched on television, which is fairly new at that time of his life. And he said he really drank in what other people were saying and doing and formed his own judgments and ultimately his magazine, the Saturday Review, which was a great publication. That's what Cousins did, and he was terrific in that sense. He was very, very good.
It's interesting you see this and you're thinking, again, I'm one person. I really can't do anything. You'll find out when you read the book, Respect, that that's where it all starts. And if we all do something, it's going to build and going to change things. You also have your insight there, the decades of experience that you bring to the discussion of respect. You've got leaders, I think 13 different leaders that you talk to. Give me a couple of those and why they found respect is so important. These are people that lead giant companies. plays and have giant roles in society. Why did they? What were some of the reasons they said respect is really a key in success?
Well, there are a lot of examples of this. I remember being in the Army. No one wanted to really be in the Army. But at the end of the day, if you read the right drill instructor, the right sergeant leading the unit, he helped you understand why you were there. And so when that happened, you had respect. In the workplace, frequently people do what are considered menial tasks. But again, if somebody helps them understand how one task leads to another, and that leads to a greater version of something, that really earns respect. When it comes to your social club, if you're able to find a way to encourage people in that social club to conduct themselves in a different manner, again, that is respect. We're right now entering the holiday season, and there's a great opportunity in every place in America to reflect the level of respect and help to other people who are really down on their uppers, and give them a chance to like their life a little bit more. There's a lot of that that should go on.
You know, every year you're thinking, boy, if we could just sort of capture the 2 weeks in December where everybody is talking to other people, they look them in the eye, they're talking, they're having conversation, smiles on their faces, greeting people on the streets, and then January comes and you're right back to, you know, your own little isolated world that you're living in and not paying any attention to anybody else. We also like things quickly. Respect, okay, how many weeks is it going to take before we gain respect? And you're very honest about it. You don't get there in a day, do you? It's work and it's a lifestyle change.
There's a great singer, Louis Armstrong.
Oh, yes.
More than a singer. He was a musician of extraordinary caliber. And he says when people are on the street saying, how do you do? What they're really saying is, I love you. And Armstrong uses examples like that throughout his work to reflect really a greater quality than might be obvious to people just going through the motions. I think it's important to take lessons that are like that away from people. David Petraeus, who was in charge of our unit, American units in Afghanistan.
Yes.
Very, very tough, tough job. General Petraeus found a way to respect people, even though they were involved in war. In fact, and damaging other people, he found a way to respect them. And again, that took the entire unit, the entire group, up several levels. Should we have left Afghanistan? I don't know. I mean, we did. The president ordered us to do it. I think if we stayed a little bit longer, it might have been a better situation. But that's history now. And Petraeus left, and he found a way to encourage people to adapt levels of respect to one another. And fundamentally, it works. And whenever you see this man, Petraeus, you say to yourself, this is a guy who really respected other people who made it happen, and that works out pretty well.
The book Respect by Robert L. Dillenschneider, our guest on the program. Information available for Robert and his website, a link to his website, Amazon page, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. One of the chapters in your book is What's in It for Me? And that seems to be something we ask all the time. We're looking out for something for ourselves. And you talk about the fact that when you show respect to others and you get that feedback that that's appreciated, that really makes your day, doesn't it? That's something that we get back. We give something, we get something back.
I think whenever you have the chance, you just say to other people, look, I understand what you're saying. I respect it. I endorse it. Or I have a little bit of a different point of view. Could I offer a thought or two, a fact or two that should really be part of your consideration when you... you make statements like this. I think it's extremely important. At the end of the day, what this is really all about is one person talking to another person. It's not one person talking to 300 people. It's one person talking to another and getting that point of view across. I remember giving a speech one time in Australia, and the audience was probably 500 strong. And my coach, such as I had him, said to me, you'll have to get something for 500 people. I looked at him, I said, I don't really have to do that. I'm going to do it for one person. One person sitting in the third row of the fourth seat in.
Yes.
The instructor said, well, who is that person? I'd like to know. I said, I would too. I won't see it until I actually start talking. But that's what I mean by trying to signal out and make something really special happen.
I like the way that you've laid out the book. At the end of each chapter, you've got think about it, and you sort of go back and summarize what's important. Those are pages that we can go back and refer to from time to time. Talk about the importance of that, because we all like to be able to go back, something quick that we can read that will sort of summarize and give us some motivation to carry out in real life.
It's worthwhile on virtually everything in your life to take a deep breath and think about it and say to yourself, this is what happened. Here's the result of what happened. Here's how it could have been a little bit better. Here's maybe I made a mistake along the way, but it was worth doing, worth pursuing this. Many people have found themselves in that situation. Hubert Humphrey, who was a great senator from Minnesota,
yes,
later to become the vice president of the country, did that all the time. You never felt with Hubert Humphrey like negative things were happening, even though he might disagree with him, might disagree with you. You never felt that way. He heard you, he listened to you, he smiled, and then he offered his point of view, which frequently worked in with yours, or offered a point of view that was different, but not offensive. That was the way Humphrey used to deal with it. There are many people like that in virtually every walk of life.
You've talked about so many people from that era that showed respect for others, and it was civility was a lot was prominent at the time. How did we lose that, and how do you think we can get it back? Obviously, you do. You're giving us encouragement and a guideline by writing respect. How did we lose this?
It's a great question. How did we lose it? And I think we lost it because an awful lot of emphasis was placed on materialism back in the 70s.
Yes.
And you had to do it. You had to have it working your way. And if you didn't, well, shame on you. Well, if we hadn't done that, I think that materialism, the things that happened as a result of it, would have come our way. But we did do it. So people took a deep gulp. They seemed to say to themselves, look, this is something I think something I do, and they went ahead and did it. And I think, again, that really caused a burp, a hiccup in the life of the United States, if not the world. I'm reminded right now, thinking about this, that France has had three premieres in the last year.
Yes.
Which is extraordinary for any country. Well, they finally have a guy who's in there now, and who I believe will write the situation and make France the paragon that it deserves to be. So it really is a matter of who is in charge, who is willing to stand up, how they're willing to do it, and how they're willing to really respect one another.
I mentioned one of the books that you've written out of so many is Civility in America, and I'm thinking that's what a companion book to respect, civility and respect. They really go hand in hand, don't they?
That's true. Civility is extremely important. It's very easy to walk away from civility. It's not hard to be civil, but it's important to remember it's important to be civil. And even the Westchester boy who my father used to work at a newspaper, and when he walked out of the paper virtually every day, he would walk through the city room, he'd walk out on the curb, he'd see somebody stacking the papers, people from all walks of life, the highest level you could possibly imagine to people who were barely making it through. And my dad said hello to everybody, asked them how they were doing, ask them how they felt. Oftentimes, ask them about their point of view on something. And as a result, they got a great result out of that. I think anybody walking down the street, walking through a workplace, should try to do that and just say to somebody, how are you doing? There's going to be an answer to that question.
Yes.
And whatever the answer is, you can move that to a second question. And that's how you can really start a conversation that will yield respect and yield real results.
And you feel good in doing that, too. So it works out both ways. Robert says, each of us has the ability and responsibility to help forge a culture based on respect, one interaction at a time, which is the subtitle of the book, Respect, How to Change the World, One Interaction at a Time. What you do will make a difference, and continue doing that. Robert, the time has gone by so quickly. I really appreciate you being here talking about respect, and we had it, we lost it, and hopefully we can get it back. And what are you working on now?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on the program.
My pleasure.
This is a marvelous show, and I hope that your listeners took something away from it. I'm working now on a book called Working, and it's about attitudes people take and adapt in the workplace. And it's pretty good. It's I have found, by the way, when you work on books or anything, never sit down and try to do the whole thing all at once. Work on two or three paragraphs, four paragraphs. Ernest Hemingway was great for that. He sat in the bar at the Ritz Hotel in Paris, now called the Hemingway Bar, and would write out just three or four paragraphs and would check off things as he was going through. Very smart way of doing it. I encourage everybody on the listening public to your show to consider doing that.
And you'll find information on all of Robert's books at his website, robertldillenschneider.com. There's a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can order books that Robert has written, including Respect. You can also find out when he's coming out with a new book. And again, it's robertldillenschneider.com, a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Robert, the time has gone by so quickly. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Hopefully we can do it again. So much more to talk about. Thank you for being with us.
It was great to be with you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Our pleasure. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.